Amen. Thank you. As we look forward to Christmas this week, certainly is a time of year full of much joy and gladness, and a time of year where there's much celebration, and I'm sure each of us have grown up with many fond memories thinking about and looking forward to this time of year. And as we think about that, really, it causes us to think about why this is such a joy-filled time of year. And you think of the shepherds in Luke 2, when the angels came to announce to them the birth of Christ, they said, you know, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And that leads us to the question, what is the true source of joy? And we're going to be thinking about looking at that tonight. And you know, many people are seeking for true joy and fulfillment in life. But the problem is that they are looking to the wrong things to find that satisfaction. Some look to material things to bring them joy, like a bigger house or a new car, a better phone, you name it. Some look to pleasures and fun. What's the, you know, most exciting thing they could do? Others look to relationships. They look to other people to find joy in life, whether, you know, that's friends or family members. Others try to find it in work or accomplishments, fame, prestige. All of these things can bring some level of temporary happiness, but they ultimately leave one feeling empty and disappointed when they are separated from the true source of joy. What is the true source of joy? There was a thing I found here about where is joy found? Well, number one, it's not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, "I wish I had never been born." It's not found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." Not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, time past, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." Not in position and fame. Not sure who this is, but Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." Not in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent. The story goes, he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Where then is real joy found? The answer is simple. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's the reason that there is so much joy this time of year. Whether people realize it or not is because we are celebrating him and what he came to this earth to accomplish. And tonight, I'd like us to look at the source of joy and the enemies of joy in our life as we consider whether or not we are finding our true joy and fulfillment in Jesus Christ or in other material things that ultimately will leave us empty. Now turn with me to John 15. We'll be starting there. And in John 15:11, here we find the source of true joy. The Bible says, Jesus here is speaking, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Here we find that not only is Jesus offering us a lasting joy, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you," but also that he offers us abundant joy. He says, "and that your joy might be full." You know, that's the key difference between joy, the joy that the things of the world bring us, there's some, you know, temporary happiness found in those things, but there's not abundant joy and there's not lasting joy. And that is found in Jesus. And through the commandments that he has given us, as we read here, not only in this passage, but throughout the scriptures. Turn with me to Psalm 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16:11, a verse I trust many are familiar with. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Here we find that joy is found in the presence of God. And if you ever find yourself feeling without purpose or without joy, just kind of floating through life and searching for that true joy, recognize that maybe you've been missing the presence of Jesus in your life. Maybe, even though you might read your Bible, you miss meeting Jesus and things become dry and there's not that real joy and fulfillment. I know I've been there in my life. And may it be a signal to us that we're looking to the wrong things to find joy. And you know, there is a number of things we mentioned there at the beginning that people might look to find joy, and those things will never satisfy. Now, several things I'd like us to see related to the source of joy. Okay, so we find that it's in Jesus, it's in our relationship with him, but there's several ways that this joy is manifested. First of all, we see that joy is produced by the Holy Spirit as one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. When a person is in a right relationship with God in the presence of Jesus, they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are going to be produced in their life. And verse 22 of Galatians 5 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." The Holy Spirit produces joy in our life. And this is something also that we see taking place in the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts 13. Very end of this chapter here. In verse 52. And here we find Paul and Barnabas going from city to city preaching the gospel. And they'd just been cast out of one city. In verse 51, it says, "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." All right, here again, we see joy directly being connected with the filling of the Holy Ghost. And a person who is walking in revival and is experiencing that the Holy Spirit working in their life, guess what? There's going to be joy that is evident in your life. Now, whether you realize it or not, people can tell by looking at you and interacting with you whether or not you are a joy-filled person. It's not something that is just this, you know, intangible thing inside of you that no one can discern. It's evident through our countenance, all right? And it was evident to those around the disciples that they were filled with the joy of the Holy Ghost. And is that true of our lives here tonight? So the source of joy is produced through the Holy Spirit. Also, this joy comes in bringing others to Christ. This was really what the Apostle Paul's chief joy in life was all about, was bringing others to Christ. And thinking about that, the Thessalonians were people that Paul had brought the gospel to. And as a result, that brought him great joy. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read of that. As Paul is talking about the Thessalonians and how they received the word of God. And we've come to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19 and 20. And the Apostle Paul says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." You know what? When you know the person of joy, Jesus Christ, nothing else brings you better joy than to introduce other people to him, to share him with as many others as you can. And, you know, especially this time of year, we have a great opportunity to do that. You know, as people tend to be more open to receiving a tract, hey, here's something that has brought me joy this Christmas, knowing Jesus, and this is something I'd like to share with you too. So, bringing others to Jesus brings great joy. Also, Philippians chapter 4. Here again, Apostle Paul speaking to those that he's led to the Lord. In verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, he says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So as you go through the different epistles that Paul wrote to these different places that he had won converts, we find repeatedly that he had joy in seeing not only these people saved, but seeing them grow and serve the Lord with their lives as well. And that brings great joy. This joy also comes in serving and suffering for Christ. You might think that persecution and suffering would be the opposite of joy, but that's not what we find in the New Testament. We find that as the disciples and the apostles, as they were persecuted, they rejoice in that persecution. We see that as the testimony of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse number 4, here he's talking about persecution that he's been through. He says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying for you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Also, James 1:8 commands us to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse number 13. It says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." You know what? In one sense, you know, thankfully we haven't suffered physical persecution here for a number of years, thanks to great sacrifices that were made by our founding fathers. But would you consider it a joy if you had to personally suffer pain for believing in Jesus, for serving him? And it really puts things into perspective, you know, the things that we try to find joy in instead. You know, instead of finding joy in serving Jesus, we might try to find joy, you know, in sports or in money, in material things. Perhaps, you know, maybe some people find it in shopping, spending money. Maybe we could ask spouses, you know, if their spouse gets joy out of spending money, shopping. But we won't ask for any raise of hands here tonight. But think about that. You know, we sing the song, "There is joy in serving Jesus." You know, is that something that really brings you joy? Or is it a grudge like, oh, I guess somebody's got to clean up after the fellowship, or that sign up for church cleaning comes around and you're hoping they won't see you as they pass that sign up by? Or is that something that brings you joy, an opportunity to serve the Lord? Whatever avenue that may be. Thankfully, we aren't suffering persecution right now, But we certainly can find joy in living for God, living to serve Him. And ask yourself, do you live or act like serving Christ is a burden? Well, if so, that reveals that you have the wrong source of joy in your life. Now, what are the enemies of joy that can steal the joy of Christ from our life? You know, there's nothing like seeing a newly saved person, okay? They're so excited and their sins have been forgiven. They found all these new benefits of life in Christ. And there's such excitement there. But very easily, you know, through immaturity, that joy can vanish when they fall into sin or they easily become discouraged about things in their life. And whether a young or mature Christian, there's enemies of joy that can steal the joy from any of our lives. And the first enemy that I'd like us to see is sin, the enemy of sin. Now, this might be an overarching thing that overlaps with some of these other categories. But sin in the life of the believer is the number one thing that will take away joy in your life. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Here, David had fallen into great sin with Bathsheba and had tried to cover that sin. But the Bible tells us that whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. And for those months, as that sin was covered until Nathan the prophet came in and exposed that sin, David had lost his joy. And we see here in Psalm 51 an account of his confession and seeking the Lord's forgiveness. And notice with me Psalm 51 and verse number 8. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. We notice that David had lost the joy of his salvation. And that comes up here a couple times here. He wanted that joy back. The joy of the presence of Jesus. The joy of God's Spirit working in his life. But that had vanished because sin had entered in. You know what? Has there come a sadness of sin that has clouded the joy in your life? You know, sometimes you can see it in the face of a person, in the face of a young person that has decided that they're not going to get sin right in their life. And as a result, they become a sullen young person that has no joy, no fun to be around. They think they're cool, but they're missing out on one of the greatest joys in life. And we've all been there when there's been a hidden sin that we've dealt with. Wow, there's great joy that comes in that cleansing. So sin will be the enemy of true joy in your life. Also, going along with that is the quenching of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 commands us, quench not the Spirit. Now, might not even be a open flagrant sin that we're hiding, but some disobedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if that comes repeated, that quenches the Holy Spirit in our life. Something that he might place his finger on and convict us about, but we say no. And as a result, we quench the Holy Spirit in our life. As a result, we're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth, produced in our life. Quenching the Holy Spirit will quench the joy in your life. And right along with that, feeding the flesh and seeking the pleasures of the world. Those Galatians 5, right along with the fruits of the Spirit, lists the works of the flesh. And all of those are in direct contradiction to the fruit of the Spirit. And if we end up feeding the flesh, again, that joy in our life is going to be diminished, is going to be quenched. The pursuit of earthly riches is another thing that can quench joy in our life. Now, many people think that money, riches, that's what's going to make them happy. And having money isn't a bad thing, but 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9 tells us that pursuing being rich, if that's going to bring sorrow. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Okay, so here we find that those that seek to find joy in money instead of the Lord are going to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. That's not where they're going to find true joy. Rather, we find in verse 17 here, it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Now, God has given us all things to enjoy, physical things, spiritual blessings. And the reality is that if we put our focus, though, on those things as our source of joy instead of Jesus, those things will ultimately leave us empty and disappointed. So if those things become separated from our personal relationship with Jesus, there won't be any true lasting joy from that. Another enemy of joy is bitterness. Bitterness. In Hebrews 12 warns us against the root of bitterness. In verse 15 of Hebrews 12, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." You know, the sad thing about a bitter person, not only do they not have any joy, but they seek to sap joy from as many other people as they can. It says that the root of bitterness springing up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, if you want to live under a storm cloud, all right, don't try to spread that to everybody else. And, you know, not only is joy contagious, but also someone who's always grumbling and complaining, that can be contagious. So think about what type of influence you're having on other people. Are you bringing other people joy? Wow, look at that person living for the Lord, you know, doing what's right. Or are you a person that's bringing other people sorrow and regret, kind of wishing that, you know, they didn't have to be around you or something like that? You know, it can be at school, it can be at work, it can be with your friends, it can be with family. And if you are walking with Jesus that day and experiencing his joy, guess what? Other people are going to want to be around you. And that joy is going to be contagious to them as well. Because when people see Jesus, they're going to want that. And that's what this world needs. And right now, the world is looking to so many other things to find joy. And all those things lead them to emptiness. And sometimes it takes a person going through life for a while before they figure that out. And, you know, as we look at all that's going on in our world in these times, more and more, it should be opening people's eyes that, you know what, the answers aren't found in government. The answers aren't found, you know, through earthly things. True joy comes when people know Jesus. And, you know, a statistic I came across, this a little outdated. But, you know, if true joy came from money, researchers have found that there's almost no correlation between income levels and happiness. They did a study between 1957 and 1990, where the income levels more than doubled. They found that in the same period, people's levels of happiness did not increase. In fact, reports of depression actually increased tenfold. Incidents of divorce, suicide, alcoholism, and drug abuse also rose dramatically. So as we conclude here tonight, are you living in the reality of the presence of Jesus, the source of true joy? Or are you seeking to find fulfillment in other things that leave you empty? Have you experienced the joy of salvation? Have you ever personally received God's gift? Jesus Christ, the person of joy. You know what? There's no greater joy than having your sins forgiven and knowing you're on your way to heaven. And if you're here tonight and you've heard the gospel message time and again and still have not responded, let me tell you, there's not going to be true joy in your life until you say yes to Jesus. You might think you're cool. You might think that your way is the best way, but it's going to lead to heartbreak and regret. If you need to come to Jesus, come to Him this time, this joyous time of year as we think about Christmas and the joy that Jesus Christ brings. And may each believer here tonight ask themselves, am I living in the reality of the joy of the presence of Jesus? You know what? That's been a conviction to me just as I've been thinking about that. Sometimes you can get in the groove of life, just start floating through life and miss the purpose and the true source of joy. And tonight, let's look to Jesus and not to the things that won't satisfy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You that You've come to bring us true joy through forgiveness and eternal life. I pray that every person here tonight would experience the joy and the presence of Jesus. And for any soul here tonight that hasn't received You, would You convict them of that? And, Lord, would they be sick of their sin and just miserable so that they would be ready to turn to Jesus? We pray this in Your name. Amen.